listen to the Tommy Schnurmecker Show live weekdays 9 to noon on CJAD 800 and CJAD.com.
Big news in telecommunications this week. The CRTC announcing measures to make sure that Canadians benefit from sustainable competition among wireless service providers. The telecom watchdog plans on watching and regulating the Big Three's roaming rates and expected to submit their wholesale rates by November 4th, 2015. According to the authors of a study released today by the Montreal Economic Institute, Ottawa is hurting both the industry and you, the consumer, by continuing to intervene in the telecommunications sector. Paul Beaudry, one of the authors, here to discuss this with us. Good morning.
Hi, Tommy. Thanks for having me.
Why do you think this is bad for Canadian consumers? Can you break it down for our listeners?
Well, I know that it can sound counterintuitive to say, well, the measures brought forward by the federal government to increase competition are actually not really helping the consumers. So our study kind of discusses two things, wireless and broadband. And when you look at how this sector has been going, since 2008, the federal government's been trying to bring about additional competition in the wireless sector. How did they do this? Well, they put in place what we call preferential auctions. So, you know, to have your smartphone work, you need spectrum. You need bandwidth that allows you to call somebody, to watch videos on your phone. And this bandwidth is a scarce resource. And what people do is that the government is responsible for allocating the spectrum. And typically what it's done is that it's auctioned it off. But what the government thought in 2008 was that, oh, we don't have enough competitors in the market, so we're going to set aside some spectrum for new entrants. And what happened is that after this auction, some regional players across the country bought spectrum at a rebate. And also we had three new entrants that came in the market from nowhere. And these new entrants were Wind Mobile, Mobilicity, and Public Mobile. And when you look at how these players have been doing, you can't come to the conclusion that this approach has been a success. Public Mobile was bought by TELUS. Mobilicity has been in bankruptcy proceedings for a year and a half. And Wind Mobile is probably the best out of the three. It's bought spectrum for a very low price lately. But at the same time, they haven't yet developed their network. That's going to necessitate $300 million to do. And we're not sure it's going to work.
Now, buying a spectrum at a bargain price, who pays for that?
So we're actually, the taxpayers is going to subsidize the bargain price. So essentially, this is money that come to the public coffers because the government controls the resource. And it's scarce resources, and it's worth a lot of money because the telecom companies need this spectrum to develop the new generation networks that are going to be needed by consumers to consume more data and to view multimedia on their phones.
So it's the government really subsidizing companies that want to compete with other larger companies that are private.
Right. In a way, the government is depriving itself of additional revenue that it would get if it was
a free
and open auction.
Why would the government do something so stupid?
Well, you know what? I'm actually not really bothered about the revenue argument. For me, if it actually worked, I wouldn't care about the foregone revenue for the government. The government says there's not enough competition in the market. But that brings me to another point. The reason why the government thinks there's not enough competition is that they've relied on certain studies that assert that in Canada, our services are not that great and our prices are too high. And the study that we just published kind of addresses those issues. And it is not true that we are getting subpar services at absolutely astounding prices. When we've compared the prices that Canada pays compared to other jurisdictions, we've come to the conclusion that the prices are competitive. And when you look at the quality of the services that Canadians are getting for their money, they're getting extremely high quality services. And that's why Canadians are some of the most heavy users of smartphones in the world.
Well, you're saying that the prices are not too high. $1.45 a minute is not too high a price for roaming?
Well, we've compared average prices. And when you look at the prices in Canada, for instance, we are lower than in the US and in Japan. We are higher than some European countries. We're not the lowest of the bunch. We're not saying that. But when you look at what's going on in Europe, you can't look at price in a vacuum. I mean, price is not the only factor that you should be considering when you're evaluating the quality of the telecom services you're getting. The quality of the telecom services we're getting in Canada is much higher than the quality of the services that Europeans are getting.
In what way? Give me an example of
how
ours is better.
Let's take 4G connections. So the 4G networks are the latest generation networks, are the fastest wireless networks. And these are the networks that we're increasingly relying on to watch videos on our smartphones and and to use these smartphones. Well, in Canada, about 20% of connections are LTE connections, whereas in Europe, the average is about 4 or 5%. So that the reason why is that Europe has been underinvesting in its infrastructure over the last couple of years. From 2007 to 2013, in Europe, investments in wireless infrastructure has gone down, whereas in Canada, it's gone up 21%. And in the U.S., it's gone up a whopping 74%. And the reason I'm mentioning this is that public policies matter. And we have these policies, the Europeans have these policies where the big players have to share their networks with smaller competitors at regulated rates. And what's the consequence of this is that the big players don't really have an incentive to invest as much because they know that when they pour in billions of dollars or billions of euros to upgrade their networks, they have to share the spoils with their competitors. They have to share the networks at regulated rates. And we have a bit of this going on in Canada. And that's why in our study, we're saying, you know, we're putting the government on guard of adopting such policies because we say this is going to inhibit investment in network infrastructure. And what do consumers want? They want more bandwidth, they want more services, and you get this with a more efficient use of spectrum.
Okay, now the big three, you're saying that if they're going to have to give away some of what they have, they're not going to invest in it. Well, then what will they do to make more money?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that investment is going to disappear. I'm saying that it will dull some incentives to invest. I'll give you one example. There will be a big CRTC decision rendered in the coming months relating to broadband networks. So essentially, when you look at the history of internet, in the late 90s, we started having this dial-up internet where you basically had internet through your phone. And you had a bunch of providers just providing the service. And as long as you had a telephone line at home, you could use it. And then came broadband, high-speed internet. So the former providers couldn't provide broadband because they didn't have the networks to do so. So what they did is that they lobbied the CRTC. They said, in order to have more retail competition, we want to be able to offer the services that the big players are providing and resell it to consumers. So this happened. And what we're seeing right now is that the CRTC will have to determine whether the next generation networks in which the big telcos and the big cable companies are starting to invest in, what we call fiber to the home networks. These networks cost a fortune to build because you have to, you know, literally bring fiber to everyone's home. It costs billions of dollars. But if you're telling these companies, well, you're going to have to invest billions of dollars, and the moment these networks are completed, you have to share them with your competitors at a regulated low rate. Well, if I was the CEO of a big company, I would have second thoughts about certain of those investments. For instance, rural and remote areas. It costs a lot of money to bring the networks to these areas. Well, is it really going to be worth it if in order to bring the network to Shibugamo, or even something more remote than that, you have to share the network the moment it's done with your competitors?
Right, okay.
I don't think it's going to work.
No, wait a second. It isn't going to work. It's too much money, and you're going to have to share it, so you won't invest there. Why are they investing even if there isn't competition? They're not going to make a lot of money by investing in that anyway, even without the competition. Where's the guarantee that they'll invest in Shibugamo to start with?
Well, I mean, the reality of it is that all investments are risky.
Right.
And I'm saying that regulation can have a dulling effect on the decisions of the big companies when they decide where to put their money. And that's what you see when you compare Canada and the U.S. to Europe. In the U.S., they have no such sharing obligations generally. And what you've seen is that they've been investing a ton of money. And you look at the other side of the spectrum, and you look at Europe, where they've had these massive obligations to share.
In the U.S., they don't have to share. Right?
They don't have to.
So are they building in the Ozarks? Or?
Well, I mean, they've been building a lot. I mean, as I said, the investments since 2007, 2013, has gone up 74%. So there's been a big push over there to push, amongst other things, these fiber-to-the-home networks in communities that I think under a mandatory sharing network would probably, a mandatory sharing regulatory scheme would probably not occur.
The discussion, the state of competition in Canada's telecom industry 2015, that's the name of the report, released today. My guest, Paul Beaudry, one of the authors, here to discuss it with us. If you have any questions or comments, please join the discussion. Text your question, your comment to 514-800. The state of competition in Canada's telecom industry 2015, that report released today, one of the co-authors of the report in studio with us to discuss it. Texter saying it's not sharing a network. They're obliged to sell space on their network to the other smaller telecom companies. The big comms are still making money, a lot of money. What would you say to that?
Well, they are indeed making money. I'm not disputing that. And I think we're in a capitalist economy and we want our companies to make money. That being said, I think that the obligation to share space, even if you didn't have the obligation to share your network with competitors, I mean, in the U.S., they don't have these sharing obligations, yet they do have these types of arrangements that are agreed upon between bigger players and smaller players, because the bigger players realize that they can make money off arrangements with smaller players in certain regions. So right. these arrangements could be arrived at through a market negotiation process, and I have no issue with that. Well, I have an issue with the government imposing the obligation to share at a regulated rate, which is often lower than the market rate, which means that the bigger players often are basically forced to share the fruits of their investments. I don't think that's real competition. The real competition is not going to McDonald's and say, well, I want you to be able to sell me a Burger King Whopper. You know, McDonald's sells their own products and Burger King sells their own product, and you shouldn't have the obligation to say, okay, well, I have my own little burger shop here, and because I don't have the name recognition, McDonald's should have the obligation to feed me their cheeseburgers wholesale, and I'll retail them to people,
right?
Because that's the only fair way to compete.
This text is saying, Tommy, the telecoms sound like the big three think like workers with their infrastructure spending and service improvements. The worker says, if I work too many hours, I'll jump the tax bracket and pay a tax, so I won't work more. Would you agree with that? I mean,
you know, I think that it comes back to the economic reality that incentives matter. I'm not saying that by having regulatory schemes that mandate the sharing of networks, investment will completely disappear. That's not the case. Investments will continue because I think the companies still have an incentive to invest, but it's always at the margins, right? You know, will we have the best networks if you have the obligation to share? Well, look at Europe. You know, they still have telecom networks that are not bad, but they're not as good as they should be.
Do you think mandatory sharing of broadband networks could actually hinder innovation?
Absolutely. One of the things, you know, and we come back to the whole discussion about spectrum, right? It's important to allocate spectrum efficiently because spectrum is the ultimate resource when we're talking about telecom. You need spectrum to do everything. And for people to be able to benefit from the best innovative, the fastest networks, you need a lot of spectrum. I mean, some people I was reading an article this morning and an expert was saying that there might be scarcity, a big crisis in about 7 or 8 years with the internet because there won't be enough bandwidth to really satisfy everybody. So facing a situation like this, it's important to make sure that the spectrum doesn't necessarily go to artificial competitors that have been spruced up because of government policy. We have to make sure that the players who build the most important networks for our industry get the spectrum so that they can provide the consumers with what they want.
This says if the big telecoms are being subsidized to make the super expensive networks, then it's a win-win since we get the network and they get to make it at a discount.
Well, the big telecoms are not getting subsidized, right? So this the situation I was discussing is where the smaller players are being subsidized to arrive in the market. But, and these players are often underutilizing and some are not even utilizing their networks. I mean, the federal government came up with a policy where initially the smaller players who had bought spectrum in 2008, if they hadn't deployed it or after a period of 5 years, they could sell it to somebody else if they didn't want to use it anymore. But the government came up with this policy saying, well, even if the 5 years has passed, we don't want any acquisitions by the bigger players of that spectrum. We want the spectrum to stay in the hands of other players, of smaller players.
Even if
they're not using it. Yeah. So you have this amazingly ironic situation where Wind Mobile, which is trying to make its way in the market, it's trying to make its way in Alberta, Ontario, and British Columbia. So they had bought spectrum in Saskatchewan. And they were trying to sell it to SaskTel. And SaskTel is the incumbent in Saskatchewan, but it's not a national player.
Right.
And the government said no. So it's very ironic that the money they could have made
so
by
what's
selling
happening
that
with spectrum,
this spectrum, it's being unused. It's idle. And it's crazy because the money they could have made by selling that spectrum to SaskTel could have been used to build their network in Alberta, Ontario, and BC. So they're being deprived of revenue that could be useful for them to compete. And the federal government is dogmatically saying, no, you cannot sell that spectrum because we don't want any other big players acquiring it. It's absolute nonsense.
Paul Beaudry, my guest from the Montreal Economic Institute, co-author of the second edition of their research paper on the state of competition in Canada's telecom industry, 2015. That release, report released today. Join the discussion. If you have any questions or comments, text them to 514-800. You're listening to the Tommy Schnurmacher Show on CJAD. Your chance to hear from Julie Payette coming up in the less than 10 minutes from now, the second Canadian woman to go into space and currently director of the Montreal Science Center. She joins us shortly. Paul Beaudry, my guest right now, co-author of the research paper, The State of Competition in Canada's Telecom Industry. What do you think is the future for the industry? Is the CRTC going to back away after they read your Common Sense report?
Well, I hope they will. I mean, you know, the CRTC issued a decision, an important decision, this week regarding roaming. So basically, roaming is the equivalent of sharing a network on the wireless side. And although they kind of mandated some form of mandatory roaming on the networks of the bigger players, there's a part of the decision where they recognize that having too extensive sharing obligations could have a very negative impact on investment. So I'm noticing that they seem to be aware that there might be some negative impacts of oversharing networks, and I'm hoping that they will reverse the course. I mean, obviously the problem there is that the federal government is pushing in favor of these types of policies. So I'd be very surprised if the CRTC in the short term were to reverse its approach on it, because the government seems to be cheerleading for a more activist approach. And I think it's a bit disappointing, because when you look at the Canadian wireless sector, I think it's a success story. And overall, it's been largely unregulated since its inception. So I don't think it's the right time to come up and inundate the sector with additional regulation.
Thank you very much for joining us, Paul Beaudry from the Montreal Economic Institute, co-author of the second edition of that research paper. You can check it out. It's called The State of Competition in Canada's Telecom Industry. That report released today.
News Talk Radio, CJAD 800, CJAD.com.